Chapter 3. Preparation. The pain came in a teasing touch, rolling against the back of his eyes in a throbbing tide. Just when he'd crest the dull ache and dare to hope it was receding for good this time, it pressed back with unwelcome insistence. Sevatar wiped his dry, tired eyes with a thumb and fingertip. He didn't need his helm's retinal display to tell him he'd not slept in 2 weeks. He felt every hour of it.
"Captain?"
asked a female voice. He looked up from the hololithic tactical display playing out before his eyes, seeing a dark-haired woman in a rumpled flight suit carrying her visored helm under one arm. As he looked over at her, the sounds of the bridge came flooding back, breaking what remained of his fragile focus. He did his best to ignore the whispers, mutters, rattles and clanks of 300 souls doing their duty.
"Speak, Wing Commander Karenna."
"With respect, sir, you look like shit."
"That doesn't sound like speaking with respect to me. What do you want, Tay?"
"I have bad news, sir."
Sevatar didn't have to fake his smile. Bad news was one of the few things that never failed to amuse him.
"Of course you do."
"The Blade in the Black just jumped in system. Commodore Yule is aboard, alive and well."
"Well, that makes him the new Fleet Admiral. Offer him my insincere congratulations on a rank he earned purely by being the last naval officer standing. But what's the bad news?"
"He voxed to inform me that Wing Commander Verith died in the ambush. The void condors were lost to a man. Do you want me to allocate the Blade a fighter squadron from one of the other ships?"
He waved the question away.
"Ask the new Admiral. That's his game to play. My only order is that you and the Veiled Ones are to remain aboard the Nightfall."
Karenna saluted in Eighth Legion tradition, her hand in a loose claw, fingers touching her chest above her heart. A sign of submission, offering the heart itself to a commander. Another gang custom weaving its way down the years. On Nostramo, it had always meant a much more literal and visceral offer. To promise something so sincerely, the speaker would have their hearts cut from their chest if they were found to be lying or incompetent.
"Your trust in me and my men is very gratifying, Captain."
Sevatar was already looking back at the hololithic display, watching the simulation of viable warp routes out of the system.
"Go away, Tay."
"Aye, sir."
Watching her walk away, Sevatar finally abandoned the tactical projections.
"You!"
he addressed a nearby servitor.
"Yes,"
came its dead-voiced reply. The thing's bionic eyes didn't seem to focus on anything at all.
"Record these projected flight paths. Disseminate them to the rest of the fleet." "Compliance," said the slack-mouthed slave.
Its amputated fingers ended in stubs, each one a key to be plugged into standardized Imperial terminals. The servitor unblinkingly slid its severed digits into the connection port with 5 separate tiny clicks. Sevatar turned back to the Primarch's empty command throne. Before the ambush, Fleet Admiral Torren Kesher had occupied the place next to it, forever standing in calm control. Sevatar had never seen the man phased, not even when he lay dying under wreckage as the bridge burned around him.
"Help me up, please,"
the old officer had said. Sevatar hadn't even tried. The man's legs were gone. The first captain couldn't see them through the smoke, not that it would have made a second's difference if he could. Sevatar pulled himself back to the present.
"Summon Captains Ophion, Varjahan, Krukesh, Torvaktor, Naraka, and Alastor Rushal to the Nightfall," he said, uncaring of which officer carried out the order. "I will be in the Primarch's chambers, waiting for them."
He walked from the Strategium without another word.
"Jago,"
the old man greeted him as the bulkhead doors rolled open. In a moment of rare expression beyond a false smile, Sevatar looked genuinely confused. One eye narrowed in disbelief as he stared at the hunched old man at the desk, surrounded by decaying bodies hanging from the ceiling on rust-spoiled meat hooks.
"Do you ever leave these quarters?"
"Rarely,"
Trez admitted. Servitar's arrival had distracted him from his writing.
Is something wrong?
No more than usual. My brothers are gathering here this eve, little man. Be somewhere else.
Trez repressed a shiver, wheezing into his rebreather.
Where should I go?
An intriguing question. The answer is
that I don't care.
Go anywhere that isn't here.
But Jago...
Servitar turned very, very slowly. Even helmetless, the joints in his armor's neck purred unpleasantly as he turned his head to face the archivist.
Call me that, he said, one more time.
Trez looked at the first captain of the Eighth Legion, standing amidst an abattoir of hanging corpses, his face so unhealthily pale he might easily be hung on a fleshhook himself. The chain glaive, resting on one armoured shoulder, was taller than the warrior who carried it.
Servitar,
Trez amended quietly.
Better. Shouldn't you be aboard the Excoriator, watching over the Primarch's dreams?
Not now,
replied the old man.
He isn't dreaming as you would understand it. There's nothing behind his closed eyes. Nothing but the absolute dark.
Fascinating. If you're so devoted to staying, then at least keep quiet.
I will. Thank you, Servitar.
Servitar grunted an acknowledgement and walked through the hanging corpses to where Trez worked at the Primarch's immense round table. The very edge of one side was taken up by the archivist's parchments and data slates. The rest of the circular slab played home to a mouldering cadaver. It looked like it had been pulled apart by a surgeon using no tools, nothing more than his bare hands. Gobbets of blackening meat were stuck to the table's surface, cemented there by dried blood and bodily fluids. Servitar shook his head, reaching out to shove the corpse aside.
Don't,
Trez said.
Don't, Servitar.
Why not?
The warrior's hand froze above the violated torso.
Lord Kurz talks to them.
So you said.
No!
Trez cleared his throat, though his voice still stayed phlegm wet.
I mean, he speaks to them as they are. He knows when they've been moved, and it enrages him.
Servitar grabbed the body by its exposed spine and hauled it off the table. It lay sprawled on the decking after a dull thump.
We will deal with the Primarch's madness when he returns to us. If he returns to us.
The captain keyed in a code on the interface now revealed, fingers tapping buttons crusted with gems of dry blood. Laboring hololithic generators flickered to life, beaming an image of the last display shown. The dead world of Tsgwelza, surrounded by its dense asteroid field. Servitar blanked the image and called up a local void scry. The fleet resolved, though blood on two of the projector modules stained parts of the hololith in swathes of red.
He wasn't always this way.
Trez looked up from his work again.
Pardon me.
Servitar hadn't realized he'd spoken aloud.
The Primarch. He wasn't always this way. He had a vision of how best to bring worlds to compliance, and it was a vision we followed willingly. Now look at what he's become. His private quarters are a reflection of the madness within. His own mind is eating him alive.
Trez said nothing.
No comment, old man? No cunning retort or words of wisdom? Are you not the being closest to our Lord in all the great and grand galaxy?
The archivist swallowed, breathing slowly into his rebreather.
He walks the same path as the rest of you, Servitar. He is merely closer to the end of it. You'll all be like him one night.
Not I. And don't speak of him like he's damned. There's still nobility in him. Still, strength.
Oh, I know that.
Trez gestured to the bodies.
He is not always this bad. He had a difficult few months before the ambush. His dreams were bleak, poisoned by doubt. He knows when and how he'll die, Sevatar. He's always known. The knowledge pains him more than you or I could ever understand. The pressure of it, the inevitability, is a tide against his consciousness.
Sevatar shook his head. He told me the same thing once. Did he tell you when he believed the time would come?
Yes, he did.
Sevatar concealed his shock easily enough, though he'd not been expecting the Primarch to ever share such a thing. And is that time now?
No.
Then why is there still worry in your cataracted eyes, old man? If it is true, why has he suffered in this coma for 2 weeks on the edge of death? If he's destined to die months, years, centuries from now, why have our apothecaries had to resuscitate him 39 times? He cannot breathe without being plugged into machines that sustain his life by forcing his organs to function. Sevatar almost spat as he sneered the final words. I do not believe in fate, or prophecy, or destiny. The Primarch is a visionary and a genius, but even he can play the fool. Trez wisely said nothing. The door rolled open again, mere seconds later. A warrior in a skull-faced helm stood in the opening, his helmet showing the same flared winged crest as Sevatar's. Chains decorated his armour, a skull bound to each one, some alien, most human.
Sev,
the newcomer greeted him, already walking into the chamber.
Tovak,
Sevatar replied. They didn't embrace or grip wrists in the fashion of closer brothers in other legions. They regarded one another a long moment before Tovak Tor removed his helm.
You look like you died and forgot to stop walking, Tovak said.
So I hear. How is your ship?
Still a wreck, the piece of shit. It's a wonder she's still holding together after the beating the angels gave her.
Tovak looked around the room, his black eyes narrowing.
The 114th has had little reason to come aboard the flagship for a long time, Sev. I see the Primarch has done some redecorating since I was last here.
True enough. We'll speak of it when the others arrive.
Tovak nodded and spared a glance for Trez.
Be gone, rodent! Your betters are speaking.
Leave him.
Sevatar waved the matter aside.
Let him stay. He's harmless.
You're getting soft, Sev.
Sevatar mimed a theatrical bow.
I have no idea what you mean. I've always been the very soul of kindness.
Tovak snorted, a smile curling one side of his lips.
Oh, it's good to see you again, brother.
Sevatar wasn't quite sure how to reply. That sentiment always surprised him when others spoke it, nor did he understand why they said it so often. He said nothing of it, merely drawing the other captain's attention to the runic display of ships in the spread of local space.
We have a third of the fleet gathered now. That's better than I'd hoped.
It's a fine start.
Sevatar wasn't blind to the tension in Tovak's black eyes. The other captain was Terran, but the gene seed had changed him, as it changed all of them.
Speak, Sevatar said. I'd prefer the new Chiroptera not to begin by lying to one another and keeping secrets. It was a singularly inefficient way to lead a legion.
Tovak nodded.
I thought that's why you summoned me. That's what I wanted to ask, brother. I'm glad to be chosen. Proud, of course, but why choose me?
Nepotism? Perhaps I just wish to choose the commanders from among the few friends I have.
Sev, please.
Sevatar was still looking at the tactical display. Its luminescence painted his face in dappled blue light.
Because I trust you. And you're an awful liar. I like that. The pacification of Arvea may have also affected my decision.
Tovak grinned, a patently malicious baring of his teeth. None of the 8th Legion smiled with anything approaching grace.
The 114th enjoyed itself that night, let me tell you. Arvea's survivors are probably still weeping over the skinning pits.
Sevatar's reply was cut apart by the doors grinding open again. The newcomer entered more cautiously than Tovak, his helmed head turning between the other two captains. He paid no overt notice to the hanging bodies.
"Captain Sevatar," he said. "Captain Tovak."
"Captain Ophion."
He took his name as a welcome, entering with his hands never far from his holstered weapons. Ophion was careful not to touch any of the corpses, stepping around them rather than shouldering them aside as Tovak had.
"I confess I have no idea why I was called to this council."
"I suspect that will be a recurring theme," Sevatar replied. "The others will be here soon. We have to plan the Legion's future."